I've read this several times, and I'm not going to read it again, but I will refer you to Matthew 25, 31 through verse 46. Now, I preached one message on the time as to when this is going to take place, and then I preached a message on the person and the place. Now tonight, I'd like to preach on the purpose of the judgment of the Gentile nations. Now, I'm so thankful that God has taught us and that we know that everything he does it according to his purpose. Now that's a blessing. And the Lord, in his marvelous grace, has given us that glorious truth. Not everybody believes that. And I get to thinking sometimes about how privileged we are as a church that God has given us by his grace so many wonderful truths that a lot of people today are starving for. God in his goodness and grace hath given them to us. Now, we'll notice in this sermon tonight who the nations are, the goats and the sheep and the brethren. But there's a purpose even why God is bringing about this judgment of the Gentile nations. And it all is relating and centering around his people Israel. And when you read here in Matthew 25, 31, down through verse 46, you'll see that Jesus makes it very clear what his purpose is for the judgment of the Gentile nations. Now, Israel in the tribulation, and as we studied that, as I preached about it, we saw that it was a time of Jacob's trouble. But all the peoples of the earth will suffer, but Israel will be a special target of satanic opposition. The Lord gave the warning in the previous chapter, there in chapter 24. Now I'm laying some groundwork as to what I'm going to give here in Matthew 25. The Lord gave this warning in verse 21 through 24 of that 24th chapter. He said, "And then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Now he's talking about that terrible time during the tribulation period, and the terrible things that will come upon the children of Israel. "And except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved." That is, during those days. "But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'There,' believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." One thing we know for that there's some people that are saved, but you can't deceive God's elect.
Amen.
It is impossible. It was in the past, it is today, and so shall it be in the future. And that really blesses my heart. Another view is given in Revelation chapter 12, and there in verse 7 through 9. Now all of this is just a forethought that we have here concerning the purpose of the judgment of the Gentile nations. Why God is going to bring them together for such a judgment. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 through 9. "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out in the earth, and his angels cast out with him. So Michael and his angels cast Satan and his followers out from heaven and down to the earth. Now we know Satan as the prince of the power of the air. He said in Ephesians 2:2, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. In Ephesians 2:2, he is now the head of a vast army of evil spirits who Paul called them the rulers of the darkness of this world in Ephesians 6, and there in verse 20. The time is coming when Satan will be cast out of his place in the heavenlies. He will be cast down to the earth. He will turn his anger upon Israel. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about here in Matthew 25:31-46 concerning the purpose of the judgment of the Gentile nations. Satan will turn his anger upon Israel. He will just try to destroy the Jew to defeat God's program for the end time. It is a terrible and a fearful thing to be put in the devil's sifter. It is. Ask the Apostle Peter.
Amen.
God put him there. He permitted it. It is a terrible time when Satan is permitted to be turned loose in all of his fear and his anger. You know, we believe there's a devil, but we don't really believe there's a devil. I mean, we believe there's a devil, but it's only until we get in the devil's sifter. And God has to deliver us, that we really feel the impact and really what it means for the devil to be mad and to be permitted to be turned loose in his fury. Brethren, I read that or thought of that verse there this morning, 1 Peter 5. Your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He can only do that which God permits or allows him to do. Wouldn't it be terrible if he had free rein? If he was allowed to be uncontrolled? Wouldn't it be a terrible thing? So he will just try to destroy the Jew to defeat God's program for the end time. God has a program as to what's going to take place and when it's going to take place. I believe that's the reason. And I've thought of this much. You can expect in these last days more attacks from Satan than any time that you've ever experienced in your whole lifetime. Because you know what? We're coming down to the end time. And you know, as our study, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now I know, in essence, what that means. It'll not go through the gates of Hades. But the Lord's churches might as well expect that in these last days, that Satan is going to try with everything that he possibly can to destroy true churches of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Brethren, that's why we need to pray for one another. That's why we need to love one another in the truth.
Amen.
That's why we need to do everything we possibly can to hold everyone up and to lift everybody up.
Amen.
I mean, as a church, I'm not talking about Christendom in general. I'm talking about as a church. Because there's days ahead of us that we're going to need not only to know the truth, but we're going to need to be grounded in the truth and to lift up the truth.
Amen.
And to honor the truth. And I can just see old Satan. He does not like any time that anybody preaches truth. Well, you don't see the devil fooling around with a lot of people. In the true church, and this is the way it's going to be here now. Satan will try to destroy Israel. You say, what do you mean? Turn to Revelation 12. And look there in verse 13 through 17. Now, I've read what a lot of people have said about Revelation 12, and they try to make the woman here everything but Israel, but I can't, what I know about the scriptures, I can't make her anybody else but Israel.
Amen.
For all you got to do is read the first few verses. And look what it says in the first few verses. And when we were talking about this woman, I thought about not just preaching the Revelation 12, verse by verse. It said, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. That's far as I have to go to tell me who this is. And then it just goes right on and tells us more. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and he cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And that was, the child was being born was the Lord Jesus Christ. The woman's Israel. And to me, you'll never make me believe anything else but that. I'll never believe anything. I won't succumb to anything else but that. And I've read it. You say, well, you make such a big issue. A lot of people do. And she brought forth a man child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne.
Amen.
And the woman fled into the wilderness. Now, while I'm reading this, this is literally what happens to Israel during the time of the tribulation period. Because of the wrath of Satan that has been cast down from the heavens into the earth, Israel has to go to a hiding place that God has prepared for her. And that's why we're going to have the purpose of the judgment of the Gentile nations. She fled. Now notice, and the woman fled into the wilderness, for she hath a place prepared of God.
Amen.
Talking about a hiding place. That they should feed her there 1,260 days. So this, when you study this and think about it, and bring all these truths together, what it does is causes you to see how God's people is Israel, and how that Israel, God watches over her and is going to bless her, even though Satan's turned her loose and he's mad and he wants to destroy her. You remember Revelation, you read where he sent a flood? And notice what happened. Well, let me read what I was going to read, verse 13 through 17. This is what I was going to read. When the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman. Now, when Satan's cast down out of the heavenly, who's he going to persecute? He's going to persecute Israel.
Amen.
He's going to persecute the Jews. And that's what Matthew 25, 31 through 46 is all about. Now look. Which brought forth the man child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle. that she might fly into the wilderness unto her place, where she is nourished for a time and time and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out his mouth, out of his mouth waters of flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood, and the earth helped the woman.
Amen.
Really, God and the earth, what God calls the earth to, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. That sort of reminds me of the plagues over in the book of Exodus. Doesn't it, you? And all them little snakes running around after they cast down the rod that became a serpent, and their rod swallowed all those others. And the dragon was wroth. He was the woman mad and went to make war. We spend a lot of time on that from Zechariah and all. Went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Well, that says a lot. So what we see, Satan will try to destroy Israel. The woman refers to Israel, the believing converted remnant. The dragon and serpent both represent Satan. The Satan, that is the serpent, sending a flood out of his mouth to drown the woman Israel. And he believes that he can still thwart God's plan. But he cannot. This is a picture of the devil's end time effort to destroy or to exterminate the Jew. Hitler was not successful. Who drove Hitler? Satan. An evil spirit. But he will be unsuccessful. God will step in to rescue and hide the godly remnant. Now Daniel talked about this. The terrible suffering of the tribulation will lead to the conversion of multitudes. There'll be multitudes of people. Revelation 1:7 talks of that. They'll see him whom they pierced. When he comes. And you know, in that chapter, if you'll notice, and the Lord Jesus will reveal himself. I mean, he'll reveal himself from heaven. But you'll notice in that it mentions two things there in that seventh verse. It says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. All the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Brethren, I believe that we find that Israel has endured the time of Jacob's trouble, and we come to the judgment of the nation. Israel will have turned to God and will acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be a permanent union between Jehovah, God of Israel, and the land of promise. She will enter a time of blessing, too, which will be 1,000 years reign. She will weep as she thinks of how long, as a nation, she rejected him. Zechariah chapter 12 and therein verse 10. "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." Ezekiel talks of this in Ezekiel chapter 37. We find there in verse 12 and in verse 13 of Ezekiel chapter 37. It says this, "Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and to bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves." All you got to do is read back the first part of there. And it's described the children of Israel are scattered. They're dispersed. They're all over. So we see this is part of the setting up of the purpose of the judgment of the Gentile nations. Now let's go back again to Matthew chapter 25 and see if we can complete this thought here in Matthew 25. Now, You'll notice there's three classes that are given to us here in this passage. When you read it closely, there's sheep, there's goats, and there's those called brethren. The sheep nations are Gentiles in fleshly bodies who were saved during the tribulation period. Verse 35 down through verse 40. Now look what it says about them. Now I'll read this several times, but I want to notice. And this is the Lord speaking. For I wasn't hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Now let me say this. Many times people make this passage of Scripture, and that's why I spend so much time on the time. Many people make this Scripture apply to the present day. You can spiritualize it, but the context and the order of the context is at the end of the tribulation period, before the millennium reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I spent one whole sermon on that, establishing the time. Now notice, naked and you clothed me, I was sick and you visited me, I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, or fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? In other words, when saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? In other words, when did we meet you? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now the context and what it's speaking about is those nations, those sheep nations, those that have befriended Israel, or the children of Israel. Now you can spiritualize that and make it apply today. Today's time, you're going to spiritualize it. But in the context, this is what it's speaking of. So we see they are on Christ's right hand. And this always is a position of blessing. Look in verse 33. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand. They are blessed of the Father. Look in verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. They inherit the kingdom prepared for thee. Paul wrote, penned these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Therein, verse 9 through verse 10. Now listen. Know you not that the unrighteous... That's the point I want to make. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So these inherit the kingdom of God prepared for them, according to verse 34 here in Matthew 25. Now what did they do? They were kind to his brethren. Who's the brethren? It's the Jewish people. Brethren, I tell you, any time that we as a nation or as a people befriend the children of Israel, I think about this scripture right here. And any time that we get confused and go contrary to or do something against the children of Israel, it makes me to know that God's going to judge. Amen. And there's going to be judgment that's going to come. For look in that 40th verse again. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren. And who's he talking about? Who's the brethren? It's the Jews. It's his brethren. It's a Jewish nation of Israel. Ye have done it unto me. They are righteous, as we've already said, and they also have eternal life. Look in verse 46. But the righteous into eternal life. Now, the goats are unsaved people in literal bodies. Now, they are cursed, they're unkind, and they go to hell. For look here in chapter 25, verse 40 and 41. He said what he said to them in verse 40, and 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting, and notice this, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 45 and 46. Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Now that's why that I gave preceding in the verses or chapters preceding. That's why I gave the treatment or how that the nations had treated the children of Israel. And how Satan, how he was cast out of the heavenly, came down and was mad. And he persecuted the children of God. And he made war against the saints. They rejected the preaching of the 144,000, the two witnesses. And there was some preaching done.
Amen, brother.
By the 144,000 and by the two witnesses. Amen. They rejected that. The brethren of the Jewish remnant in the tribulation. I thought about Revelation 7. Turn there. I want you to see this. In the first few verses, what we have in that chapter is the sealing of the 144,000. And I believe that I'm not going to spend time reading all those verses, but I want you to see Revelation there and down to the verse 8, verse 1 through 8, is the sealing of the 144,000. But then verse 9 follows. And verse 9 is talking about some besides the 144,000. Now there is the 144,000 that are sealed. And we see how that he seals them. But then look at verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude. Now there's 144,000 Jews sealed. Then there's some other people. You could say, you could be safe to say that these 144,000 are elect Jews that God sealed. But there's another elect group. And after this, I beheld in lo a great multitude which no man could number. Where'd it come from? Of all nations. And the word nations here is the same word nations in Matthew 25, which refers to the Gentile nations. And kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. So we see the brethren are the Jewish remnant of the tribulation. These, of course, are saved after the rapture by the preaching of the two witnesses. There'll be the preaching of the 144,000 and of the two witnesses. God has purposed that for that remnant. I believe that. I'll go back and just bring this. Romans 9. And there in verse 27. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sound of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Romans 3, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. And he goes and said, who are Israelites? So we see that we have the sheep nations, the goat nations, and the brethren. Now the basis of this judgment, it is the treatment of the brethren. That is the treatment of the children of Israel. A lot of these scriptures are repetitious, but I'm just going to go back. And to bring this to your mind, Joel 3:2, it says this. I will also gather all nations. And what I want you to see, I want you to hang on to the word nations. I will also gather all nations and will bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And notice, and will plead with them, therefore my people and my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And the whole thought of the idea is even then, what they're going to do is they're going to despise Israel, because Satan is going to cause them to despise Israel, and they're going to be out to completely annihilate the nation of Israel. Now, both are surprised to learn here when you read in Matthew 25. Both are surprised to learn that in the dealing with the Jewish remnant, that they have been dealing with the king himself. And that's what he says. He said, well, when did we see you hungry? Or when did we see you in such a condition? Billy, if you don't straighten up, son, we're going to have trouble. I love you dearly, but I love the Word of God.
Amen.
Okay. It's always as hard when I have to do this, but it has to be done. It has to be. And Clara understands this. And everybody else does too. Okay.
Amen.
So we find that both are surprised to learn that in thus dealing with the Jewish remnant, they have been dealing with the king himself. They said, when do we see you hungry? When we see you thirsty, look what he said. Inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, notice, ye did it not to me. And I believe that we see the connection. While it may be generally considered to be a national judgment, it will be an individual judgment. Well, look at Matthew 25:32. Before him shall be gathered all nations. Now look at this. He shall separate them one from another. As a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. So I believe that among all the nations that are brought together here for this judgment, among those nations, there will be some elect people. Brethren, they'll be divided. They'll be placed on the right, and the others on the left. Now I said earlier, and needs to be repeated again, this is where many people come up with the idea of a general judgment. But what we must remember is the time and the effect. Now, the goat nations are sent to hell. And I believe this is a fulfillment of Psalm, and there in chapter 9 of the book of Psalms, and in verse 17. Now listen, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Now what I want, and the reason I'm pausing, I want you to see the significance of that word nations. Because I believe it refers to these goat nations here, and the sheep nations enter the kingdom in literal bodies. For here they are, and he's got them at that judgment, and immediately what he says to them here at this judgment, notice verse 34. Then shall the king say unto his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. They're standing right there. And what we're doing, it's the time of the ushering in of the millennium kingdom. And they're going to, I don't know what you say, they're going to walk right in it. I mean, it's going to be right there. But they're going to enter it. Here they are. They're the living Gentile nations. Here in verse 34. And verse 46, but the righteous and the life eternal. And so what a blessed thought. Now, I want to contrast here before close. The contrast between the white throne judgment and this judgment in Matthew 25. You can read here, and there's no resurrection. You can't find a resurrection. There's no resurrection. In Revelation 20, there is a resurrection. Revelation 20, 12. The living nations are judged, some saved, some unsaved, here. But in Revelation 20, 12, the subjects are all the unsaved dead. There's nobody else there as far as being judged. There's others there, but not for the purpose of judgment. On the earth, on the throne of Christ's glory. That's what we find. He comes to sit on the throne, glory. In Revelation 20, 11, the only subjects that we read of there are dead. There's no books here in Matthew 25 that are open. In Revelation 20, 12, books are open. In Matthew 25, there are three classes of people. In Revelation 20, 12, there is one class. That's the day. In Matthew 25, the time is when Christ is revealed and sets up his kingdom. In Revelation 20, 6 through 7, the 1,000 years has ended. There is also, of course, the judgment of Israel. But this is the judgment of the Gentile nations. Now this ought to cause us tonight to, you know, I'm not a bit afraid of the end time. I'm not. I mean that literally. I'm not afraid of the end time. And I believe, and I don't say this in any way to frighten anybody into doing anything here tonight. I don't believe in that. But I do believe in warning and preaching. I believe in that. But how thankful I am that there is no fear in my heart.
Amen.
For the end time. But it will be a terrible time for those that are not saved. For people that are not saved. That's the word we need to. We need to try to get our terminology saved and unsaved.
Yes.
You ready? I'm working hard on that. I'm like Brother James Green. I'm working hard on it. And I slip every now and then. But Lord be my helper. But I'm thankful tonight. The Lord ruleth and reigneth. And so it is very important, I believe, not only then, but I believe it's important as to how we treat the Lord's people. It is God's people, Israel. Aren't you thankful tonight that you're saved by the grace of God? I stand amazed. And I stand in awe because of what God has done, what he's doing, and yet what he's going to do. And our hope tonight is in a crucified, risen, Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to stand and sing a hymn for the folks today.